Hello, good morning. Welcome. Our number is 580-543-6580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net if you prefer email. And that brings up a quick point here. I got an email last week, and I did not have time to read it, and I can't find it. So please resend your question. We had a lot of calls last week and couldn't get to it, and I couldn't find it this morning. So if you get a chance, if you know who you are and hear this, please do resend your question. I'd be happy to answer it. I'm sure we'll have time. Anyway, I want to get to a couple of things today. I've been talking about this for quite some time. And it's not a question of timing the market and figuring out when the peak of pessimism is. It's an unknown thing. But you kind of know it or feel it, or you're close to it, you can feel it. When nothing can go right in the market, everyone is negative. And I mean everyone. You could turn on a CNBC in 30 minutes and hear five different people talking about how the market can't go up, and here's the reasons why. And they're all good reasons, right? But nobody, or almost nobody, has anything good to say about it. It's a dead cat bounce. It's a, you know, that kind of thing. We have to go down until earnings numbers get lower. All of those things, just this constant mantra, it's like a big echo chamber, right? We all sound the same. We are Wall Street superhero strategists, okay? And we all sound alike. It's interest rates. It's the Fed. It's whatever it is. And it can't be worse. And then the next guy comes on with another couple of reasons why the market has to go down. And you can kind of feel it. It's because of like there's this pit in your stomach. It's like, ah, God, they got to be right. After all, you know, Joe's in charge, and he's not in charge of anything. The policy decisions are terrible. There's geopolitical events everywhere. Decisions like getting out of Afghanistan in a firestorm have emboldened terrible people around the world. This is not a political statement. This is what all polling data shows for Republicans, Democrats, independents. And without leadership, how can we feel like it's going to get better? When we look around and we see inflation, terrible. We see jobs numbers that are they good? Are they bad? I don't know. And then the Federal Reserve wants to raise interest rates terribly, meaning we're going to have a recession. So how can things get better? And then they do. And out of nowhere, we have a week like last week. Out of nowhere. Up 4% and 5%. Tech stocks, which you can't own in a rising interest rate environment, everybody knows that, don't they? Because the PE ratios, interest rates are too high, and you can't pay that much, and blah, blah, blah. Who would ever want to buy, you know, Amazon down 35% from the highs, right? No, I want to wait till everything's good and glorious and I can pay up for it. Peak of pessimism. You don't know, and this could be a dead cat bounce. It might be. We don't know, but we were reaching a point where every single day was down. Everybody knew it would be down, and certainly every week was for several weeks. The point I'm trying to make is we don't need to time this, and people seem to think that you do. Well, I'm going to sit on this. I'm going to wait till what? Things look better? Nobody sets out in investing to say, you know what I want to do? I'm going to make sure I pay maximum prices for all the stocks I own. And when things get rough, I'm going to contemplate selling low. And I want to repeat that behavior over and over all the days of my life and see how that works. Nobody sets out to do it, but naturally, people do. And I mean smart people. This is an emotional game. It's not an intelligence game. It's controlling our own emotions that matters the most. It really does. We don't feel that way. I totally get that. You don't feel that way. But we have to understand that that's the way it really is. It really is that way. We are driven to run from our fears. We are driven to feel more fearful than reality is. Is the world ending? Probably not. But we think it is. And we're driven to figure out why it is so scary. So we have to fight those emotions because nobody says, I want to, you know, buy high and sell low. Nobody says that. But people do it. And I've shared this a zillion times. You know, your returns over the last 20 years completely go away when you miss the 10 or 20 best days. Say, well, yeah, but, you know, I'm going to be able to miss the bad days too because I'm a great market timer. Here's the problem. 6 of the 10 best days were within days of the 10 worst days. Do you understand? When markets are volatile like this, it has the worst days and best days right next to each other. And if you miss the best days, you're out. You're out. All of your returns are gone. Gone. And so when we think about this, it's really incredible. I mean, what an opportunity for me. I mean, from a psychological level, right? I get to watch thousands of lives for 40 years. That doesn't make me like I know what the future is. But I've run into an awful lot of interesting, if you will, human tendencies over the years with really smart people that say, well, I think things like, well, I think the market's going to take another dip based on what? Well, because I think the market's going to go to 29,000. Why? Have we done analysis of earnings reports? No. It's a feeling. Like, really? That's probably how you got so rich running your business is just by feelings. No, it's not. Of course it's not. We all have a tendency to do that. And we all want to try to predict the future. It's natural. Why wouldn't I? Of course I want to predict the future. I think it's going to be warm next week, but I'm not a meteorologist. Why would I make such a claim? Right? So we all run into this, whether it's predicting things that, you know, outcomes of sporting events. We love doing that, right? I predict that the Broncos are going to cover the spread. Okay, good. Which also means we have casinos that do very well with all of us predicting the future of a simple thing like the outcome of a football game. How do we predict the outcome of something as complex as the stock market? Because it is very complex. Because it's not just the stock market. It's the economy. It's interest rates. It's all these things all wrapped into one. And it all feeds together on the emotions of people, money flows, everything else. Because even if you knew, and you think about this over the last 20 years, 10 years, however period of time you want to think about it. If you knew 2008 would happen, you knew it would go down 50%. You knew they would inject billions, trillions of dollars over and over and over again. You knew inflation was coming. You knew all of those things. You would never own stocks. You would always run from it. And you would always know that there's no way you'd want to be in the market, and you would have missed a grand 20-year, 10-year, however you want to put it, period of time. even knowing what's happening economically, which is not knowable, even at simple interest rates, a coin flip does better than economists. I'm not joking. It's true. It's been measured. A coin flip does better than highly paid economists for Wall Street in determining whether interest rates are going higher or lower. How are you going to add that complexity in and figure out the market? And that's why it's hard for us to not just pull back and say, I'm just going to take it, I just set it aside, I'm not going to leave forever. It's hard. And human beings are not wired to say, I don't know what the future is. I give up on that. We all are predicting. I do it too. I'm not saying anybody is capable of not in their own mind predicting, but we're all capable of not reacting to that. All of us are. All of us are. All of our human emotion, we are capable. Men a long time ago quit acting like our own instincts. I want to knock her down and mate with her. That would be a human instinct, a male instinct. We don't do that. And that's raw, pure emotion. That's our instinct. Our raw, pure emotion about investing is to see the fear, run from the fear, and think we are being rational in our behavior, and we're not. And we always forget this big point, and we'll talk about this in the next hour. We forget that markets move in advance of events. So we look at things like this and go, wow, what if we have a recession? What do you think the 25% correction is about? Just because? And then we'll be like floored if we have a recession. Be like, oh my gosh, who would have thought that could happen? And then the markets would just super react at that point. As humans, of course, that's irrational. We are reacting all the time. If we are, quotes, predicting or thinking about seeing the data, it doesn't say it has to happen or it's going to be coming out this exact way. But clearly, we're slowing down, whether it's actually a recession or it's so slow, we're back to this who can possibly make money growth type of thing that is not a driver for higher stock prices. That's why the market's down 25%. Oh, well, what if Putin invades Ukraine? That's why the market's down. It's already down. It already knows. It already predicts a lot of the fears. Most of the time, it overpredicts it. Right? What if oil prices go to $200 a barrel? Well, they didn't. They usually don't. Well, what if he uses tactical nukes? What if he doesn't? It hasn't happened. It might. Of course it might. Shouldn't I hide out in gold? All of these things come up in our minds because we are driven by fear. All right, I got to take a quick break. When we come back, feel free to give us a call. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you again for joining us. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net if you prefer email. And I'll mention this again because last week I got an email, and I cannot find it. I meant to talk about it this week and because we ran out of time with phone calls last week. Anyway, send that to PetsoFinancial.com. I'm sorry, .net, Dave at PetsoFinancial.net, better said, and correctly said, if you have an email question, love to hear from you. All right, so I've been talking about, and we'll talk about more in the second hour, this idea of not just the peak of pessimism, but what opportunities there are. And I don't mean specific stocks or now's the time to buy or anything like that. But what actually happens when you get volatile markets? And I touched on this, a couple weeks ago and talking about a few weeks ago, whatever it was. In talking about volatility bringing unbelievable bargains into areas that really are fairly new to people, right? They sound real sophisticated and they, called buffered notes and things like that. But it's an area that's been around for a long, long time. But when we get volatility and we now have, quotes, pricing because of technology, that makes sense. It's a monstrous market. And what it does is it gives people an opportunity only with volatility to get better protection on the downside or higher upside multiples, some of both, you decide. But when times are normal, normal volatility, if you will, less than we have now, you don't get as good a deal. It's totally counterintuitive. Totally counterintuitive. And so when we run and hide during periods of high volatility, we not only miss low prices. That's bad enough. But we fail to understand that the deals get better. The deals flat get better. So I'll touch on that a little bit because there are a number of things out there. And of course, man, I can't believe this. And I know you've heard me rail about this for, 35 years that I've been on air, plus 35 years plus. But it's always the same deadly drumbeat. We're all going to die by gold. We're all going to die by an equity indexed annuity. You can't go to the Wall Street casino, blah, blah, blah. And so people sit out. They say, well, you know, it's not a big deal. Gold's, you know, 1800, 1700, I guess. It won't budge. But, you know, back in the day, it moved a lot or did this or this. I just puzzle over this. I don't know what's wrong with gold right now. I just don't know. I don't understand. In my entire investment lifetime, literally, you go back to the early 80s when we were still dealing with concerns about energy. The United States couldn't produce enough. We were importing everything from the Middle East. And whenever there was another war about to break out in the Middle East, the saber rattling is what it was called back then. So when there's saber rattling, oh my gosh, gold would go up. Of course, oil prices went up, and we were about to have a war. The Soviet Union was incredibly dangerous, deadly, and there was always that fear. Whenever there was something else going on, like they took over another country in Central America or something, boom, gold would go up. So against geopolitical events, it was a huge thing, and especially good for inflation, which we have now. But that doesn't stop the gold bugs. And now we even got Putin running around. For gosh sakes, it's crazy. It won't move. It just won't move. But I think you got it. The next big mover, are you ready? Especially if you're listening to, you know, like Fox or some other, like, because I guess conservatives are like end of worlders, right? Got to buy silver, next big move. It's crazy. Crazy. All right, in the next hour, I'm going to talk some more about this too, because we cannot be burying our head in fear and deciding now's the time for things that aren't working. It's weird. I don't know what's wrong. We're going to talk after the news at the top of the hour. Talk to you then. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net if you prefer email. And of course, as I like to remind everybody, these are my opinions only. We're not here to tell you what to buy, and sell. That's idiotic noise and is not helpful to investing at all. In fact, I don't even think it's entertaining. It's noise. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? I don't know. Every day, it's constant drumbeat. Steering us further from the truth. The truth. Is the world growing? Yes or no? Is humankind advancing? Now, I would argue that on social basis, you know, all the problems in the world, all the stupid people that there are, and all the bad policy decisions we make, we're not getting better in that regard. But in spite of that, corporations continue to innovate and grow. Technology is improving in every sector of our life. People are living longer, healthier, more abundant lives than ever before in history. We just don't feel that way. But the more noise we put into our life, the more day-to-day frustration, anger, everything else keeps us from seeing clearly how abundant our lives are. Nobody's ever lived like we live now. Nobody ever. And so when we ask questions like, is the market too high? Is the PE ratios too high? You know, nonsensical babble. We ask that question all the time. What do you think about this? What do you think the market's going to do? I don't know. And it's the only honest, humble thing you can say, because we all try to know. We all think we can know things that we can't know. But what I do know is we're down 25%. Some sectors are down more. Some stocks, high-quality stocks, are down a ton. Some lower-quality stocks are down like they're almost out of business and may not be going out of business. That's what I know. I also know that 100% of the time, 100% of the time, not just my lifetime, not my investment lifetime, 100% of the time, markets recover and go to all-time highs. Always have. In spite of world wars. In spite of really stupid politicians. Boy, the 70s was just a grand old time, wasn't it? I mean, let's face it, you know, hey, Richard Nixon followed by Jimmy Carter, two economic geniuses of their time. We did wage and price controls. We even had the intelligence, when we're in an energy crisis, to decide that we should have windfall profits taxes. What a brilliant idea that was. That would encourage energy companies to drill more, wouldn't it? I mean, it's just unbelievable how stupid some politicians are. And boy, do we have an abundance of them today. But we have in the past. Yeah, but what about inflation? We've been there, done that, dealt with it. What about the budget deficit? Yeah, I know. Do you remember the, Ross Perot, the hockey stick guy, right? The hockey stick, our deficit to the moon. We cannot survive this. Well, we are. I don't think it's good policy. But one, what I know is 100% of the time, markets recover, go to all-time highs, and most people sit around on the sidelines. That's what I know. Is that a guarantee of the future performance will be the same as the past? Of course it's not. But whether you are 25 years old, 33 years old, 57 years old, 83 years old, theoretically 123 years old, like a gravitational pull towards the equator, the market has done 10%. Like within basis points of 10 over any reasonable amount of time. It doesn't make any sense, but it does. Why? Because what we know is that the world continues to advance. But what we believe is it's going to stop now. And we spend extraordinary amounts of time trying to figure out what's wrong with the world. What's wrong with our lives? What's wrong with people? And we spend such an extraordinary amount of time doing that. I think it leads us from the truth. We have never had more abundance in the world, especially in America, more opportunities to become whatever it is you want to be. You can be a blockhead and stay in the basement and play video games. Congratulations, you missed all of life. You can start a business and fail and start another one, fail and start another one, and before you're 40 years old, be a millionaire. Nowadays, believe it or not, I have no idea how this is good in our society. I think it's terrible in our society. People can actually become millionaires by, you know, like posing and showing their hot bodies on social media. It's weird, but people can do about anything. If they work at it, they're good at it, and they work hard. We've never had such opportunity. And yet, what do you hear everywhere you go? Oh, man. Kids got it tough today. I don't know how they do it. Really? Seriously? Never been better. But we can't see it because we're buried in what's wrong all the time. We are. And this is not a Pollyanna speech about why the market, you need to go buy the market today. There's plenty of problems out there. That's why the market's off 25%. So here's our first email question of the day. Is the market, has the market already priced in? MP, thank you for your question. Listen, I don't know if it's fully priced in. Nobody knows what the interest rates are going to go to. Has the market priced in the raises we already know about and what we are predicting? In other words, the market collectively is already predicting 0.75 in a couple of weeks when they meet again. And it's predicting another, I think about 0.5% collectively after that for the rest of the year. And that's it. Is it predicting another 2-3%? Would that hurt the market? Of course it would. What if we don't go down as much? But you see, that's back to what we talked about in the first hour. Precisely. And a great question to ask all the time. The only predictive value you have is, do I think that the market has overshot or undershot what it's worried about, thinking about, even maybe what it's optimistic about? Is it overthinking earnings? Is it over-depressed about earnings? Almost all the time, because human beings are the market collectively, it's always more negative. So the market is more worried, because human beings are more worried, all the time than it should be. So the reality is markets climb higher than people think. Things aren't as bad. Or meaning it overshoots to the downside. Do I think it's in there? Of course it's in there. Why do I think it's in there, or why do I say it certainly is in there? Because we all know. The Federal Reserve tells us what they're planning well in advance. They have this dot plot thing. This is what we're thinking now and what we're thinking for months from now. They're not out there to shock the markets. So it's all priced in. The question we want to ask all the time, have we overly priced in that? Have we said that in a rising earnings environment, which we still are in, wrong again, Wall Street analysts, I thought we were going to be way ahead. That was the noise, the echo chamber, if you will, of all of the people that got on and talked about it. And you even saw people that went like the, you know, like this, with such disgust. Our earnings numbers, they're way too high. They're so, I can't believe Wall Street is still predicting earnings numbers this high. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's just like this complete contempt for the analysts that are still like optimistic. Well, you don't hear them coming back now going, I was wrong. Whoops, earnings numbers held up pretty good in the second and third quarter. They're looking fine. Nobody talks about earnings numbers being so, so high now. Too high. Ridiculously high. They just don't. Because they were dead wrong. Markets overpredict typically. What a great question to ask ourselves all of the time in all ways. Are we overly predicting the bad? Because that's what markets almost always do. We as humans have to guard ourselves against always saying and operating in the current, in the now. And I know it, you can also say, wait a minute, you're saying quit trying to predict the future. Yes, I am. Because you're wrong. But what I'm saying is you have to understand that the market collectively always is predicting the future, not today. It's predicting the future down the road. A quick example, if I could, before we take off to our first break. Think about a biotech company that has no product, no earnings. They simply burn cash. Why would anybody invest in that? Because it's thinking forward to the day, hopefully, that they nail it and they come up with an Alzheimer's cure or whatever it is they're working on. That's why you own it. For somewhere years from now, the billions of dollars that'll come rolling in, or will they? It's a lottery ticket, isn't it? Can be. But you do it, and people do this in mass. But we think in the present. So we worry about when the Federal Reserve, like 2 weeks from now, raises interest rates 0.75, which they've told us they will do. They told us 2 months ago they would do it. They're going to do it. The market isn't going to go, oh my Lord, we just raised interest rates 0.75. I have got to go and react right now. Now, I'm not saying the market won't go up and down that day as the Fed chairman comes out and they just try to decipher what he's really saying. But it's already priced in. We already know they're going to do that. They've already told us. Now, if they do something different and shock us, well, there you go. That's a piece of data that we weren't expecting, and we might react mildly to. Markets move in anticipation of events, sometimes years, if you're talking about small biotech companies as an example. Little companies that burn cash for years, like Facebook, for years, burn cash. Well, they built the page views to 1 billion people. And then they figured out a way to make a lot of money. Companies are owned for their future stream of earnings, dividends, etc., not today's. Thanks for the question. What a great question. We're going to take our first break, and our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and once again, thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. You know, I touched on this earlier, too. It's, about what I know. We can't know when the market hits a bottom. Can't know it. You can't know where the peak of pessimism is, which is basically the market bottom. You can feel those things, you can sense those things, and you can understand that they don't happen very often, where there just is no chance the market can go higher. So, of course, what does it do? It goes higher. Now, even if it's only temporary, even if it's only, quotes, a dead cat bounce, it still is saying things may not get worse, even though everybody's sure they will. Because, again, is the market living today, or is it living on where we're going? It's where we're going. We live in the here and now. We only have emotion for the here and now. Think about all the things, all the problems that we've gone past in our lives. And then think about history. I mean, well, World War II wasn't really a big problem. Really? Really? So we have history that has no emotion tied to it. None. Because it's history. That's why historic movies like World War II are amazing, right? Because actors and actresses that get on there, and it's like the drama in real life. We feel it and we cry. And we can't believe the horror of that. That's the only way you can feel it. Reading a history book is not like feeling the intensity and thinking, I know, I'm going to invest some money. You would never invest money in that. But it worked. But we believe that the problems of right now won't resolve themselves. It's normal human. But we don't have to act like a normal human. We don't. We do not have to do that. It doesn't mean we don't have those feelings. We all do. But reacting to the emotions of today misses the point. Those problems we have today are going to go away. They always have. And then you will look at the new problems right in your face, because we'll get a whole new set of problems next year, the year after, and the year after that, all the days of your life. And that's what you'll fixate on if that's what you allow yourself to fixate on. Or we see the big picture, we go with the big picture, we love the big picture, and we try as we can to avoid our human nature and recognize that there's more abundance, the world is getting better, and if you will, more profitable for the greatest corporations in the world, which is what the market is about. Owning a share of stock is not a thing. It's owning a piece of a great business or a crummy business. You decide. But it's not this thing that operates in a vacuum. You get a share of their profits, a share of their cash flow called dividends. That's what we own it for. And a growing share is what it's always been. You know, I love this analogy from my brilliant and sweet wife. It's like a chess game. Now, I learned to play chess as a kid. I was never great at it by any stretch. I mean, I don't say that humbly. I'm just not a great chess player. But even an amateur chess player is thinking a couple moves ahead. You have to. And what's complicated and interesting about it is that these pieces all do different things. It's not like you're operating the same way. Like one piece gets to move any direction, the queen, like as far as it wants. One thing hops and then goes diagonal. What the heck is that? One can go straight. One can go diagonal. One can go two if it starts, and then it can go on a line if it's capturing something, or you understand what I'm saying. It's complicated. It's super complicated. And you have to think about what your opponent is going to do to kill you a couple moves ahead. Now, the really great, the masters, of course, think the whole game through. I mean, multiple moves. And a really good chess player is probably four moves out. But we all start thinking this way. How am I going to go kill him and go get the, you know, put him in checkmate? Which misses the point of now you got to play defense and you're dead before you even know it. That's one-dimensional. You have to start thinking multidimensional. The markets do that all the time. They're moving on lots of things. But if we get caught up in all of the data and all of the noise, you miss the simplicity of, how's Amazon doing? You mean, so stock just went down 30% from its highs because everybody loved it. Now they don't like it. Did their business go down 30% in value? In actual value? No? Well, maybe we should consider, let's dive deeper. What is their future looking like? Well, actually really good. Super good. Okay. Maybe we should own it. Period. And again, like I said, we're not here to talk about individual stocks. I don't think you should go run and get Amazon. That's not my point. It's a well-known company and a good example. Since the iPhone came out, and you knew Samsung was going to kill them, and except that the Samsung phone, you know, like blew up on airplanes and stuff, caught fire. You knew that the iPhone 4 wasn't as good as a predecessor. You knew the 5, there's no way. You knew, because analysts knew and told you. Every time Apple came out with a new phone, they were just a manufacturer of phones. They really weren't worth that much. Except then all of their subscription business started to grow a lot and so on and so forth. Anyway, here's the point. How many times should you have sold Apple since they invented the iPhone? I'm not talking about when it was like 25 cents split adjusted or 10 cents or whatever it was, when it was nearly out of business. I'm talking about after you had the most beautiful thing in modern history that changes the world, a smartphone, a really smartphone that enabled us to move away from the crackberry, which made us all want to do heroin because it was so impossible to work with, and push a picture of the sun to get the weather. This was a game changer. You had it in your hand. You didn't have to predict it was coming. And Apple is up 40-fold since then. But only if you own it. If you traded it, you made a little bit of money and you're out. You get rich over long periods of time when great companies compound wealth, not by trading. It doesn't mean you never sell dog companies, but you don't listen to analysts barking about stuff they know nothing about, which is the future. We have to think these things through. And what we know is this has always worked. Always. And we also know we always see the doom and gloom so clearly that it fogs the reality of the great world we live in. And the world we have in the future, whatever that looks like, will be filled with problems too. They always are. But we shouldn't be running and hiding every time. And that's what it feels like. And it also feels that way when we get way too plugged in, wired into all the problems of the day and all the anger and the angst that there is. We always do that. And it doesn't help. All right. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net if you prefer email. We're going to take a break for Fox News. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO, Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. And by the way, if you have any comments or questions, we'd love to hear what you want to talk about, want to learn about. We're here to educate. That's all we're here for. Totally. Have been for 35 plus years. That's what we're here for. What do you want to know about in more detail? We used to have this segment called the education segment, right? And people would write in and say, would you teach us more about, you know, dollar cost averaging? Or why do people say, you know, what should stocks sell for? You know, things like that. The general questions. What is a stock? What are bonds? You've talked about these structured notes that buffer the downside, buffer losses. What are those? These are all kinds of things. We've talked about all of them over the years, but if there's something specific, we'd love to talk about it again. And I will tell you this, no matter what your question is or your feeling of lack of knowledge, our schools stopped teaching economics, the markets, the beauty of capitalism a long time ago, and I have not given up hope on that, by the way, that we are going to turn the corner and get rid of these nut jobs in education. I think this is, midterm is going to be a big deal regarding that. It's going to be a huge deal because parents are very upset, by and large, across the country. Even places like San Francisco, if you can believe it, are so tired of not teaching what's important. Not teaching anything important at all. Teaching things that absolutely five-year-olds and six-year-olds don't even have any capacity to know about. What do they know about gender identification? It's lunacy. These things are changing, I believe, but don't feel that way. Don't feel like I can't learn, I don't know, and I'm not going to. Like you remember, it was like, I don't know math. And you had to grab your child and go, it's okay, you do know math, but if you say that, you shut down your brain to learning anything. Don't do that. Don't say, I don't know money, I don't do money, I don't know the markets, I don't do the markets, I don't like the stock market. It's the greatest wealth mechanism in the world for the average person. Nothing comes close. Nothing comes close. What do you mean you don't like it or don't want to know anything about? Of course you do. So don't feel that way. Ask the questions, okay? And that's at PetsoFinancial.com. We also have articles, calculators to help you with your financial planning, as well as we have podcasts there too. If you missed something, you want to go back, you want to learn more about it, you want to hear it again, probably Monday. They're up every week from the prior week. All right, let's go ahead and go to the phones. Terry in Boise is there. Terry, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Professor.
Good morning, sir.
That little bit just stole half of my thunder here. Your dollar cost averaging and teaching history and getting a little perspective, that's what I wanted to start out with, but you done it already.
Oh, well, that's good. It'll save a little bit of breath for you there.
Yeah, old guys, we need a little help with that stuff. But now, one of the things all this week at I've been watching, you know, everything flop around and whatnot, but how much of what's going on now, about the market in general, is an outflow or an output from the 2008, that too big to fail, that save everybody, and I don't know the word, promulgated, that kept running the the fallacy,
the money supply,
what's going
up,
on.
The Fed balance sheet, all those things. Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We saved the
banks. A lot of what's going on.
Yeah, we saved the banks that should have failed. I mean, we were not letting people fail, or we didn't back then, and this is the outcome we get.
Yeah, in part, and I have to say too, when you come to a fork in the road, and America, the world, it wasn't just America, made the choice to go to the right. We have to bail out the banks because we if we go to the left, we feel by allowing them to tumble down. We saw real time what happened with Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns. It was not good. It was really, really bad. When banks can't trust each other to lend overnight, the markets froze. We saw credit markets freeze. And I don't mean it's hard to get a loan to start a small business. We all know that happened. I'm talking about that big corporations like IBM can't even trade paper overnight. They can't balance the books because the banks won't hold it overnight. That's a problem. So I'm just saying, I'm not saying it's right or wrong and that some of them should go and all those things, and politicians should have been hung instead of sitting around and then writing more laws into effect. Frank Dodd, both were very responsible for the problems in the first place. And they write the legislation to correct it. But what I am saying is this, okay? Because everybody is free to disagree. We should have let them all go and then try to come back from the ashes. What I'm saying is we did go to the right, meaning this way, I'm not saying the correct way. I'm just saying we went to the fork of the road. This is the direction we went. The problem is we didn't stop. We now have discovered this wonderful thing that the government is there to stop us from having recessions, to bail us out of any problems we have, go ahead and write off student debt, do this and that, throw trillions of dollars at people, and really it really doesn't matter. It won't cause inflation. It won't cause a problem because look what we did before with all the banks. Not true. We're suffering the consequences of that. It never was going to be true. But what I'm saying is there's all these things that we can't measure that I think are it's a moral problem we have. For example, you go into debt, the government should wipe it out. It's called student debt. And so therefore, it's all a good thing because you're really a good person. So you made a bad choice. It's okay. We'll make it go away. That has lots of repercussions for decades of how people would treat it. So when we talk about, we don't know if it's $500 billion they're blowing a hole in the budget or it's another trillion. But what I do know is there's going to be people out there that go to school for 8 years or 10 with no intent and then party on, because why would I ever worry about it? I can only be charged 5%. You don't think that'll change the behavior of people? It'll change it massively. Because I only have a 5% bill to live like a king over the next 10 years. So they'll rack up debt, and the colleges won't figure out ways to get people educated for less money. It's a lunacy idea. But that's what we're going to do, and that's what Joe wants to do. I hope it doesn't happen, because these are the repercussions of decisions made, like you're talking about with 2008. When we did that, we thought the government collectively was a problem solver, not a problem, as Ronald Reagan put so eloquently. I'm here from the government. I'm here to help. It's not something you ever want to hear. And government became bigger because of it, Terry. So, yeah, we are suffering from that, not directly, but in my opinion, indirectly.
Well, just for the record, I paid my student loans by Yemeni, and nobody helped me because I ate a lot of spaghetti and cheap food for a long time there while I did it. So.
Well, obviously, you're an idiot, Terry. So, but thank you for doing that, because it means that all that free money is out there. Because it's free. It's not really coming out of your pocket and my pocket. It's
yep,
free.
I'm a well-meaning idiot. So that's
exactly.
The thing. You can't ever take a risk. You can't ever burn your finger and know not to touch the stove ever again. You don't ever learn. And we're coming back to teaching. You have to have some experience.
Well, we all learn either by pain or we learn from others. But one way or another, we're going to learn. And when the government doesn't even allow people to learn, how do we expect to continue. Anyway, that's another story.
Yeah, you were talking politicians anyway. First off, we should have hung them to start with, but
but there never seems to be a consequence any more than some CEOs that run companies in the ground. They just pay them hundreds of millions of dollars, and then they pop up somewhere else again. It's crazy, crazy.
Yeah, Mike Goldman parachute. Well, you know, Navarro made good out of. Well, I didn't shush my mouth. But anyway, that's what I had for you, sir.
Thank you. You have a good rest of the day, Terry. Thanks for the call and have a great day.
Same to you, boss. Bye.
You got it. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I'll tell you what, we're going to go ahead and take our final break and give us plenty of time. And do give us a call. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome. Goodness, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it. Any comments and questions, that's petsofinancial.com. And obviously, you also, because I mention all the time, have my email address, dave@petsofinancial.net. All right. So here, speaking of that, a couple of questions here. So let's start with love your optimism, but $30 trillion in debt. How do we wrap our mind around that? How do we come out from under that? Roger, thank you. Good question, and very fair, and one I've certainly worried a lot about over my career because, as I mentioned earlier, the whole hockey stick thing from Ross Perot was very early in my career, and it was a concern, is a concern. So regardless of whether $30 trillion is too much or the unfunded liabilities we have, the politicians that will do nothing. I want to digress for just 1 second. I believe fervently that we absolutely can and somebody will tackle Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security that is all going bankrupt. Because I do not believe that the idea that you can't talk about this in politics makes any sense to me at all. None. You're telling me that intelligent people can't sit around and go, you know, my opponent is going to run ads about Social Security, that I'm going to push grandma off a cliff. No, I'm going to fix it so the world's future grandmas and grandparents are going to have a future of Social Security, a future safety net in our country. I'm not going to let it just go away. Because everybody's afraid to do nothing. They just want to have power and do nothing. I want to do that. I want to fix this. It's not going to impact the people that are on it. I'm not going to throw anybody off a cliff. I just want to quit pretending this isn't a problem. But the average American is going to go, ooh, let's vote somebody that has an intelligent comment out. That's crazy. That's crazy. Ronald Reagan spoke clearly to people, and he was the most beloved president in modern times. I mean, can you imagine a world where he won 49 states? 49. Yeah, that includes New York, New Jersey, places that no Republican wins. It's crazy. He did. He spoke plainly. Let's solve problems. So I don't think that that's a future of never being done. But these unfunded liabilities are a huge problem. So let me back to the question. Where is that? How can we solve that? We solve it by growing the economy and slowing down, not even stopping, growth of government. Simple. It's a simple formula. All we have to do is have the courage to do it. And there will be somebody to do that. How big the number is before we crumble, I don't know. That's the point. Nobody knows. But what I do know for a fact is this is immoral, what we're doing. We are robbing future generations of whatever it is, benefits, lower taxes, whatever it is, we're stealing from them. I've never met a grandparent that says, I love taking and destroying the future for my grandkids. Don't touch my Social Security. Don't touch programs. Don't talk about any of this stuff. I want them to go bankrupt so my grandkids don't have them. Nobody says that. Nobody believes that. except politicians. So I don't know how big the number is. What a great question, and I really appreciate it. We don't know how big it is, and of course I'm worried about it. Why wouldn't we be? All right, so let's follow that up, all right? Because I love thinking about this. I hate thinking about it, to be honest with you, because it's so big. Okay, we have now magically moved, and this is an important point. We've magically moved our thinking that billions of dollars was a lot of money. We've now moved it to trillions. Brilliant. For left-leaning, print money, just spend money because government knows how to get bigger and bigger no matter what, and it does a bad job, but we don't want to pretend it's a good job. We've moved that number to a trillion. So how big is a trillion? Okay. What if you were to spend $1 million every single day? A million since Christ was born. How many trillions would that be? A million a day for over 2,000 years, you still would not have spent a trillion. That's one way to look at it. A million seconds, 1 million seconds, 11 and a half days. A billion seconds is 32 years. A trillion seconds, I'll give you a second. 32,000 years. That's how big a trillion is. You want to think about it as $100 bills, 10,000, throw it in your pocket. $100 bills, $1 million, small, throw it in a grocery bag. A billion is stacked tens of thousands of dollars high across a football field. I'm sorry, a trillion. Across a football field. Can you imagine that? A football field of crates of $100 bills. 32,000 years. It's an unbelievable amount. Careful when we're throwing around. You hear politicians throwing around. It's just a trillion here and there. It's a lot of money. And that's the moral problem, isn't it? All right, we're about out of time. Yeah, I'm optimistic about the future. Yes, we have multiple problems. And yes, we always will. But we'll get through this. We always do, 100% of the time. And I hope you have a great weekend. Thanks again for tuning in.